Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, September 27th, 2018. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am good, Jeff. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well, and it's great to have you here. And from the MacCast, Adam Christensen, how are you?
Back again. Good. I think it's a three-peat.
That's right. This is your third time on this week.
Which Glad is to awesome. Be back, though.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And for the audience, yes, I'm totally spoiling you by having Adam on three times this week. Hey, we have a sponsor, and our sponsor is Jamf Now. And I'll tell you all about that soon. What I want to talk about first, though, is this partnership that Apple announced a couple days ago with Salesforce, where they're working on customer relation tools together or apps together. And so this will be things that you use as a customer service entity, but then also the front end things, the people that actual customers are using. And one of the examples was that HomePod is going to start showing up in some Marriott hotel rooms, and you'll be able to speak to the HomePod and do things like change the temperature in the room, order your favorite meal or whatever you routinely order. And even if you switch to a different hotel, so each time you go, it can remember who you are, and just the HomePod is just there and you're talking to it, which I thought was very interesting. And Dave, you had some other thoughts on this too.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting what Marriott's been doing, right? I mean, they are in the process of sort of wrapping up their acquisition/merger with Starwood Hotels, right? Which makes this new thing, I think it's the biggest hotel chain, certainly in the U.S. now, in terms of the number of properties that they have. And, you know, Starwood has always been of interest to me because they're, you know, I'm a rewards program geek. And so their rewards program has always been like really valuable, but also very flexible. And now even more so. But you know, they've also been really on the forefront of tech, and it's not just this HomePod thing. I just saw the other day their app. Now you can, you know, ask Siri to unlock your door, right? And because they're doing the whole wireless key thing or with your phone, you now don't even have to launch the app. You can just trigger it with Siri, which is cool, right? Like they're doing it. It's very interesting what they're doing, and they're not the only ones. Hilton's been pushing, you know, because Marriott's their competition, right? Mm-hmm. And their competition, actually Marriott and Starwood were their big competition, and now they're together, right? So, but it's, you know, I like, you wouldn't have thought that technology would be the thing that would truly make your hotel experience actually like remarkably better. And it certainly is happening. Like the fact that I don't need a key to get in and out of my hotel rooms is awesome, right? The fact that I can, like, I mean, it really, like, it makes, it's not just, hey, that's neat, but it is neat, but it's also like really handy. And now this HomePod thing, you know, it makes it feel more like home. I've always traveled with a speaker. You know, I generally travel with a JBL Bluetooth speaker of some sort because they sound decent. And, you know, I can pair it with my phone and play my music in a hotel room. And music's one of those things that really, for a lot of us anyway, really kind of makes wherever you are home. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you have to spend some time on the road, and you're in and out of different hotels, like the idea of not having to travel with a speaker, having a much better quality speaker than I'd be able to fit in my, you know, suitcase and be Bluetooth and all of that, like just having it there. And it's like, oh yeah, I can play my music. Here you go. Yeah. I mean, I went to one Sonos event years ago, I think when they announced the new Play 5 or whatever, and I got into my hotel room, which they had coordinated for me, of course. And they had two Sonos Play Ones. They had one in the, you know, in the, in like the bedroom part and one in the bathroom. And I was like, oh, this is so nice. And, you know, and, being able to have that as part of the hotel, not as part of the host would be a really good thing. So yeah, I really like what's going on here. It's very interesting to me that we're using technology to humanize some of these things. You know, hotels are just classically so cold and sterile. Mm-hmm. And they've tried in different, I mean, you know, they do different things. Obviously they put carpets on the floor instead of letting it be cement, you know, put pictures on the walls or whatever, but these aren't your pictures. It's not your carpet. It's, you know, generic, right?
Yeah. And when you go down the hall to your friend's room, it's the same pictures.
It's the same, right? So maybe that's like the next thing is partnering, right? Didn't Netgear just acquired this company called Mural, M-E-U-R-A-L, which creates a screen that essentially lives inside a picture frame and is Wi-Fi. And part of their deal is the technology, but another part is their subscription to like truly classic works of art. And they actually just added Norman Rockwell's library, which they negotiated like crazy for to get, because evidently they're very, his family and estate is very protective over all that stuff. Understandably so. Yeah. But if they partnered with Mural, then, and of course, not only can you get Norman Rockwell and, you know, other classic pieces of art, you can put your own stuff up there. So wouldn't that be interesting, right? To have something like that in a hotel. And this is truly tech. Like having that Mural thing on my wall at home, it's like, well, that's interesting, but like my home is already pretty personalized to me. Right. It just sort of by definition. But a hotel room is not. But wouldn't it be cool if I could walk into a hotel room in, you know, any city USA, and because I have my phone with me, now my music's playing, my kids' pictures or family pictures or whatever I want them to be are automatically on the wall, right? Like this reminds me of, and I don't know if it was true, but years ago, Bill Gates, when he built his first mansion or whatever, while he was still, you know, running Microsoft, it was rumored that as he had, each person had their own, like, it sounded like a beacon, right?
Like, I don't know what they, or something,
a
like
badge.
That,
yeah. And as you move from room to room, like the colors of the walls and the paint on the walls and the art and the music would follow you through the house. So you had your own personalized experience through the house. You know, when I first got Sonos, I felt like, ooh, I get to touch a little bit of this, right? You know, but only in my house. Now with a hotel room like that, that's really where this stuff, I think, matters most. So it's cool. Anyway, you know, as you can tell, I'm kind of excited about it. Yeah.
Yes. So, Adam, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm more curious about the underlying technology itself and potential trickle down effect. You know, I'd like to know more about how it works, because I mean, it sounds like the kind of thing where somehow the HomePod tech is tied into your device. I don't know if it's specifically the Marriott apps, you know, powered by the Salesforce stuff, or something else that Apple's doing at a lower level. And the reason I'm saying that is because the one complaint, and I think it's a valid one, of the HomePod currently is it's a single user device. So this would seem to imply they were using some sort of tech to make it multi-user, because I'm assuming when I walk into the hotel after Dave's just been staying there, it's going to flip over and switch to my profiles and my stuff, right? And I'm assuming that's somewhat automated. I can't imagine that there's a process where I have to go through some sort of convoluted pairing setup. You know, either it's done, you know, behind the scenes with the Salesforce stuff, or, you know, so I'm curious how that's all working or going to work and how seamless that experience will be.
I hadn't thought
about that. It's a great point.
But now I really want to see how that works. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and our sponsor is Jamf Now. And here's the deal. You have a bunch of Apple gear that you need to keep track of for yourself or for your business. So you have iPhones, you have iPads, you have Macs. Jamf Now lets you do all of that from an easy-to-use web interface. So you'll know how many devices you actually have that you're using. You'll know what operating system each thing is running. If something is out of date, hey, you'll be able to tell right there. And if you have settings, like all of your employees need to have specific email settings, no problem. You can push all those out right from Jamf Now. And if one of your employees loses their computer, their iPad, their iPhone, okay, well, it sucks, but you can use Jamf Now to remotely wipe devices and to lock them down so that no one can get at any data that had been there, and they can't even use the device. So whatever your company secrets are will stay secret. And it's really inexpensive. You can sign up for free, and you can put 3 devices on your account for free forever. And that's just how they do it. And any extra devices will cost you $2 per device per month. So it doesn't cost a lot of money to manage all the devices that you have in your business or your home or for your family, whatever. It's easy to use, it's inexpensive, and it's great. So head over to the Jamf Now website. That's jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account at 3 devices for free. And thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor. Okay, the other thing that I want to talk about today is shortcuts in iOS 12. And I was thinking about how people that are interested in shortcuts but don't already understand how to make automated tasks happen, like they weren't previously a workflow user. How would they get into this? And I thought, well, maybe go into the gallery and look and see what's there and experiment with shortcuts that have already been created. And it also got me to thinking, is this something that is going to become mainstream, or is this ultimately just like a niche feature, much in the way that Automator has been niche on macOS?
Yep. I think in my personal opinion, and it's somewhat the latter, I do think that your idea of, you know, if someone's curious about shortcuts, there's lots of learning tools available online. But I think you're right. An ultimate way, and this goes true for Automator as well, an ultimate way to get into it is find something from the gallery, something that's relatively simple, maybe just has a few steps in it or something like that, and just open it up and take a look and try and sort of reverse engineer and figure out how it's built. And actually, to use a lot of the canned shortcuts, you're going to need to be able to have to do that anyway, right? I think, Jeff, we were talking earlier and you gave the example of, I think there's a shortcut that's something like, hey, I'm leaving work or I'm on my way home, and it has some steps where it will, you know, pull up the map to your house and it will send a text message to someone saying, mm-hmm. here's my ETA. And like, there's a series of steps, but you still have to go in there and customize that because you got to tell it where your home is and who that you want it to text. So there's a little bit of editing you have to do. You can't just, you know, with a lot of these, some of them you can just pull down and use, but a lot of them do require a little bit of editing. So yeah, I mean, that's cool and it's fun. But I think ultimately, yeah, it is a feature that's more about advanced users wanting to automate, and you can automate like really, really deeply. So I guess maybe that's the kind of cool thing about it, is you can go as shallow or as deep as you want. And again, it's very similar to Automator.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like I'm really excited about shortcuts, but and it's important to remember that Shortcuts is a renamed app that used to be called Workflow before Apple acquired the tech and the engineers that built it. Mm-hmm. And it's a ton of fun, and they've had this gallery for Workflow for a long time at workflow.is, and of course now it's all moved into Shortcuts. But it's exactly that, right? It's for people that like to tinker and tweak things. And like for me, that's how I've learned a lot about different types of things. I don't just want to say programming. I mean, it's how I learned to, you know, manipulate things on the command line, right?
Right.
Because, you know, you just, well, I need to do A. and then I need to do B. So I look, and whatever resources are out there, you find, and like, oh, that's how someone else did A. Cool. Mm-hmm. And then you find four other people that did this same thing four slightly different ways. You're like, well, if I combine those together, wait a minute, I could do B, C, and D now that I understand how this works, right? You start to see patterns, and it's exciting.
Yep.
For those of us for whom it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And
it's connective tissue for apps on your iOS device.
I like that.
Yeah. But you have to want to do this, and also you have to be comfortable kind of, you know, creating something that breaks and doesn't work quite right. And you have to go in and troubleshoot, and it's a little bit of a headache, but it can be a fun headache up to a point. And, you know, tweak. Oh yeah, I see what I did wrong there. Okay. But what if I try it this way? And I will tell you, workflow shortcuts is one of the most flexible things you can do on iOS. And it's also full of frustrating restrictions, right? Even as Apple kind of has taken it under its umbrella and opened up some of those restrictions, it's still restrictive. Like, there are things, it is not built to do everything. It is built to do lots of one things. And if you can think of a way to creatively link those together, you can do some pretty cool stuff. You know, there's brick walls, and it's sometimes like, no, you can't do that. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The best analogies I've ever heard, and this goes for Automator and workflow and everything, is to think about a recipe and cooking, right? You have a series of steps that you are linking together, and each one of those steps has some sort of action or thing that it does, right? You're connecting them all together. And just like a recipe, you can have a recipe that does something. And if you do it really well and you understand it, you're going to come out with a delicious, you know, thing to eat. If not, though, you can follow that same recipe and come out with something that's horrible, right? And it's very similar like that, right? You're not going to be able to just pick this thing up and necessarily, you know, create a fabulous cake the first time out. You're going to break a bunch of eggs, and you're going to get shells in the thing, and you, right? Yeah. But if you really just stick through it, you can ultimately learn it and end up with something super powerful.
Yep. And you could even use these things to, you know, promote your own brand, right? Like, right. I mean, it's like anything else. If it creates something for yourself, and then, oh, I want to publish it to the gallery.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the difference between a thing I made that works well for me and a thing that I made that others can understand is often, you know, double the work, right? Because you got to polish it up a little bit and like take out the crap that is only valuable to you, and start to think about how to genericize the thing and all of that. But when you do that, that's, you know, then you can, you put your name on it, and maybe you wind up getting hired by someone that needs a programmer that thinks creatively, and they used your workflow because your shortcut. So yeah, but
so
it's,
you're thinking
it's not,
about Dave's gallery pack, aren't you?
Oh, no, I am not that guy.
He's thinking about Doug Scripps.
I'm thinking about Doug Scripps. Doug is much better at being that guy than Dave is. Dave's good at building stuff for Dave.
I forgot about Doug Scripps. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's another great, if you're familiar with Doug Scripps, which is a bunch of great scripts for AppleScript, and I think Automator as well now, you know, again, Gallery is very similar sort of thing. It's very similar. The one caveat to this is, and I think this gets a little bit confusing for people, because Apple released Shortcuts and then another thing that is very similarly named but slightly different, which is Siri Shortcuts, right? Which are things that Siri can do. And so when we're talking about, I think Shortcuts is more for the power user. I don't see it working its way, just like Automator, into the mainstream for a lot of users. The difference is Siri Shortcuts, I think, will, because Siri Shortcuts is a way for a lot of developers to build Siri integrations into their apps for specific things. And I think underlying it is, and I could be wrong about this because I haven't dug in very deeply, but is some of the Shortcuts technologies, you know, that are operating under the hood inside the apps when you trigger a Siri shortcut. But they can build things that are built in that then a user can leverage and add a simple command to. So you can say, hey, lady, do this thing, and that will work in your third-party app because the developer built that thing.
We just added
very specific.
We just added some of that stuff to the Mac Geek Gab app. And when I say we, right. I mean that Corey Imdeck did. He's the guy who's programmed that for us for years. And what he added was essentially two things. There's a couple of Siri triggers, you know, play the latest episode, those sorts of things.
Right.
But then there's also the I forget how he termed it, but we're essentially publishing to Siri the fact that when you play an episode, and so if it learns that if you routinely play an episode on Thursday, then Siri might, if in its infinite wisdom, choose to offer you, hey, it's Thursday. Would you like to play the latest Mac Geek Gab? Right. You know, like that stuff goes both directions, but it has to be very intentional from the app developer, like exposing this in a certain way. And then it starts to feel like magic. Now,
right.
Why we can't go and control that and just tell Siri, hey, I would like to make sure every Thursday you offer to let me play this. Well, that's, right. You know,
yep. Yeah. The point is, those Siri shortcuts, I think, are going to be used by a lot of people in a lot of ways mm-hmm. for a couple reasons. It gets into the more for everyone sort of place because, one, Apple is being pretty aggressive about exposing those to the users.
Right.
Probably
right.
Already noticed it if you've been using iOS 12. They have Siri suggestions, which will be like, hey, you have this shortcut for, you know, your favorite app here. Do you want to set it up and use it? So,
yeah.
You know, and also, again, developers are building those into their apps, so they are going to work very well, and they're easy to set up, and they're, you know, and so people will leverage those. So that area, but that is not shortcuts when we're talking shortcuts. And I think there's been a lot of confusion about that. At least I'm getting confusion from people because they don't understand the distinction between the two because they have a similar name.
Right. Yeah. I've been hearing the same sort of confusion. Yeah. So, all right. Well, so my takeaway after this conversation is that shortcuts are really cool, and learning how to make shortcuts can let you do some amazingly powerful things on your iOS devices. But this,
if you need to, if you need to do them, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the one thing I'm trying to get from people too, is like they're kind of feeling like it's a buzz thing right now. And it's like, oh, do I need to know about these? Are they really important? They feel like they're really important. It's like they're important if you have, again, a series of apps or actions or things that you want to automate and connect together. And it's a tool, right? It's a tool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, are you missing anything if you're not using shortcuts? Probably not, because unless you have a need, then you don't need it. You know, unless there's something you're like, I wish I could do this set of steps in one action. Then if you're not saying that, then no, don't worry about it too much. Just know it's a tool that's there when you will need it or want it.
I like that. Yep. Okay, cool. Well, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Adam, thank you for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
It was a lot of fun. And thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. Add 3 devices for free and only $2 per device per month after that. So it's easy and inexpensive. jamf.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you're here. And we will see you again tomorrow.